Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to Fighting on Film, the War Movie Podcast. In this new weekly series, we'll be bringing you our review of Masters of the Air as each new episode drops. Hello and welcome back to Fighting on Film. This is episode 4 of our Masters of the Air series, and you can catch up on the rest of the series so far by visiting fightingonfilm.com. Before we begin, don't forget you can get 10% off at checkout on airfix.com by using the code FOF podcast, all caps, all one word.
Get yourself some money or some tasty model kits there. Yeah, so we are into episode 4. We're a quarter of the way through now, aren't we? 9 episodes.
Well, almost
just over
half.
A quarter. Almost halfway.
Like probably a third, I would say. Maths is not our strong point, apparently.
No, we're film reviewers. We're not mathematicians, Matt.
Yeah.
This episode picks up, as most episodes do, right off the back of episode 3. And As you would have seen, hopefully you've seen. If you haven't, go and watch it. Episode 3 is quite something, and there's a lot that's gone on, and 4 just picks up straight after. I think we should get into talking about it.
Yeah, this is the last of the 4 episodes that are directed by Cary Fukunaga. And then the rest of the back end of the series, the next 5 episodes, are directed by various different directors. So it'd be interesting to see and discuss tonally any shifts and changes, the way characters are handled and you know, shot choice, etc. This is kind of a bit of a soft reset for this series after the aftermath of episode 3, isn't it? And we get some new crews introduced, some new character focus, who are going to be with us throughout the rest of the series. Now, we haven't mentioned this before, but these are spoiler reviews, and I'm sure this is episode 4. You already know what we're going to do. We're going to discuss our favorite scenes, chat about the sort of flow of the episode, and just give a general appreciation of the show.
Spoilers, you've been warned. So this, as I said, picks up straight after 3. So Cleven and Buck are still in Africa.
Everyone's still in Africa. The whole wing is still in Africa.
Yeah, everyone.
The thing that annoys me about it a little bit is, actually, I wish we'd lingered in Africa a little bit longer.
I get you. Yeah.
Because we get an establishing shot just after, in the prologue. And it's, them all by the forts. They're all, carrying kit round, and then Bucky's got a fez on. So there's a little bit of, stuff's been going on. He's found a fez somewhere. And then the 10th Air Force is spotted in the distance coming. And I just would have liked a little bit longer in Africa. Obviously, difficult to do. It's all done on those, the screens.
Projection. Fancy back projection. That's what I'm calling
exactly
it.
Exactly, the LCD back projection stuff. And probably would have been difficult to do, sets and stuff. But it would have been cool to see, you know, the logistics of them getting back, perhaps, because it that just cuts to a bicycle in the UK again. So the straight back.
But it wants to get going, doesn't it? It wants to show you what's going on. So you, as I said, so Quinn and Bailey, after being shot down in Alice from Dallas, they're on the ground in Belgium, having been picked up by the resistance. And there's this great interrogation sequence where there's another guy called Bob that they meet, and he's, you know, supposedly an aircraft, a bomber crewman. And they are told, ask questions like, who does Babe Ruth play for? And Bailey gives this big spiel of, well, he was with this club. Now he's actually with this club. You were wrong. So he proves his Americanness, proves himself by the questioning. And then you get a section where they're told to recite the national anthem. Mm. And Bob's really going for it, really giving it some. And Bob and Quinn and Bailey are a little bit more sort of like more real, where it's Quinn's going like, you know, he's like trying to remember the lyrics, and you've got Bob giving it the whole.
I definitely don't remember ours.
I could do the bits that people know, but not that.
I do the first two sentences. That's about it. But
And then straight after that, they're being taken through a woods by the Belgian resistance. Mm. And one of the resistance members asks Bob for a light, and he gets out a lighter, and then he's shot in the head.
Yeah.
And Bob and Quinn and Bailey are like, what the hell did you do that for? Like, he's just American as me. I've been chatting to him for an hour. And he goes, no, he was an infiltrator. And it's, I like
very
that.
Good
bit.
One. Yeah.
Not a very good. That's great. One, but very secret army. Like, if any listeners army. Have seen the 70s BBC secret army show, it's very secret army this week. Some of it.
Very hello.
I don't think so.
I mean, the mise en scène is as good as a low. Let's be fair. Like,
it's true.
Yeah, I love that shot of where they pull into the probably Gare du Nord or some French train station, and it kind of like pans past a couple of like Nazis like chatting on the platform.
Proper cliche, but it's just what you want. Yeah. to ramp it's like the a, tension.
Like a, it's that's the kind of shot you would see in an Indiana Jones film.
Yeah, like it is.
That's a Nazi reveal. You know.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really good. It does. I like it when it leans into the tropes a little bit, because, you know, it's allowed to. I think at this point you are allowed a few cliches here and there if they're used well. So then while that's going on, you've also got what's going on in Thorpe's Abbot. So Crosby comes in with his narration, and he says 25 missions. That's what you'd have to do to go home. And then they create a war bonds tour around you. And Captain Glenn Dye and his crew are the closest to the goal, and they're waiting for them to come back. And then the fort does come back. They're firing flares. They do a low overpass over the Thorpe's Abbot airfield. It's fantastic. Then we cut to a party, and they're having this 25 mission send-off kind of party for them. And it's a really great scene. And I like how it's showing the downtime. It's showing the weird sort of life of a 8th Air Force crewman, where you have these...
Yeah.
moments of madness in the air, and then you were down on the ground having a party.
Well, the colonel kind of encapsulates that quite nicely in a little dialogue he has with a lot of the bomber crew commanders, where he's like, it's the battle's in the air, and then what you do on the ground, well, that's up to you guys. You
exactly
know?
He's worried that kind they're becoming like really flak happy,
really like loosening the lead on them a little bit there.
Yeah.
Like, just very interesting scene where they're all, you know, they talk about being flak happy and stuff, which is an interesting inclusion.
That comes back later on, not this week.
Yeah, and they send Bucky off on R&R, getting past to London, and he goes down the least London looking street possible, doesn't he?
It doesn't look like Hammersmith to me.
No, no.
And he ends up for all intents and purposes, it's Hammersmith.
Cellar basement club.
Yeah, called Cafe Warsaw, which is a nice little way to get the Poles included in there, because I think they are written out of it a lot. And Egan meets this lovely bombshell Polish woman, you know, probably everything you'd want in a Fortis stunner, shall we say. And they have a talk about her husband was a pilot too. And there's some great lines about, you know, how do you know if someone's a pilot, to Egan? He goes, how? And she goes, oh, they'll tell you. Yeah, that's a great line.
Classic.
And then we learn that the Polish husband has probably been killed, or at least taken prisoner. during the first 2 weeks of the war. So, you know, she's got her own story going on, Negan has as well, and they spend the night together. This episode, it's probably worth pointing out that it is three plots concurrent. So you have what's going on with Quinn and Bailey, you have what's going on with Egan, and then you have what's going on with Cleven and the rest of the Eighth at Thorpe's Abbot. And it's not told as linearly as we're sort of going through it now, but it is cut in between each other. It does back and forth quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's setting this episode, I think, is much more grounded and somber than 3, 1, and 2, just because it's having to set up what's, obviously this is me talking ahead of myself, but what's going to come later. It's setting it up now, and this feels like a more of a traditional kind of bridging episode, not a filler episode. I don't think that's unfair to say that, but it's kind of bridging two plots, two things had together to get you to the middle of the show.
Yeah. It's a bit of a soft reset, as I said earlier. Mm. It balances the three plots quite well. There's a little bit more of you know, the behind enemy lines sort of secret army to come in the next episode. But obviously you have some quite interesting scenes in London. There's a really interesting sequence where Bucky's watching an air raid, a German raid on London. And he's, you know, he's finally seeing what he's been dishing out to the Germans on his raids. And then after that night scene where the Polish lady has a great line where she says, "The closer you are to death, the more alive you feel."
Yeah, very good.
And that's juxtaposed by the next morning where he walks past a bombed out building where they're searching through the rubble for survivors. And they find, you know, there's a mother who is despondent, you know, she's wailing as a child is pulled out of the rubble dead.
Egan looks at it, doesn't he? He hangs on it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Says a lot really well done.
It puts, you know, him face to face with the human cost of the missions he's flying. We get a bit more of that later on.
You do.
In a very interesting way. But that scene's really quite good. You know, interesting to include it.
Yeah.
But I really did enjoy the behind enemy lines sort of
very
downed
good
pilot aspect. The interrogation scenes were really well done.
Mm.
Just the mise-en-scène of the bar they're in, the train station, the carriages, and the, you know, the there's a great CGI shot of Paris, like an overhead like landscape shot of Paris as the train enters the city.
It's very good,
and it looks very effective.
You know, yet again, the money's not been spared. You know, the setting's great, the costumes are still great. There'd be no Ellie Telly this week, I think, folks, because it's not an episode like that. There isn't really much going on there. The only thing that I could really pick out that was Ali to me was the scene where Engineer Lemons fixes the magneto on Buck's
That's
floor.
Not Ali. That's a favourite scene. That is my
literal
favourite
scene. Is that a favourite
scene
for you, is it? Okay, fair enough. Okay, I'll jump the gun
one thing
there,
I did think about for the Ali Tally was the American Red Cross Clubmobile at Girls.
That's nice. That's a lovely touch, yeah.
I like the inclusion of them. It adds another human element, and you know, one of them gets close to a bomber crew member that doesn't come back.
Yeah, one of the lads from Rosenthal's. Who's a new character who's introduced? We should mention, played by Nate Mann, who is in Licorice Pizza, Ray Donovan, and Evil on Paramount Plus.
Oh, nice!
And he looks a heck of a lot like Crosby in some angles, so it did confuse me.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he's got the mustache, though.
That's it. That's it to differentiate. Yeah. And he obviously becomes a very famous figure within the Eighth Bomb Group. But at the moment,
we follow him for, you know, the rest of the series.
Very prominent figure from here on in.
But I will say that I love the interrogation scenes where they arrive back from a raid and they come into the interrogation hut and the Red Cross girls like handing out brandy or whiskey and coffee. And one of them is wearing like, wearing her own like jacket.
M41 tank jacket, with all the patches on it.
all the patches.
Yeah,
up
that's
the
really
arms.
Nice. I like to think that the men have given her those. It's like a keepsake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do.
It's
I love
a really
that.
nice bit of character growth through costume. Rob's
Yep.
hot on that this week.
We've
That
talked a
last
lot
couple
about
of
that
weeks, haven't you
lately.
been?
We really have.
And it does a pretty effective job. But as
Yeah.
I said, let's talk about some favorite scenes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm Captain Dale Dye, and you're listening to Fighting on Film.
So, I mean, I think I nearly spoiled your favourite scene. So I think maybe you should tell us about it rather than me having...
Yeah, so we got Raff as the ground crew sergeant. And he has this great little sequence where he fixes a magneto down on Book's plane. And they say, well, you know, we'll have to pull you out of the raid. And they're already kind of low on manpower.
Yeah.
They need all the bombers they can get. So they make the decision to fix the magneto as they're rolling up the flight line to get ready to taxi to take off, essentially. And it gets to two planes, one plane ahead of them. And he's, you know, fumbling inside the engine cowling, which is really cool because that's
makes
part
a chase
of the plane
him
that
in
you
the
never
Jeep.
Think you'll see.
Yeah. It's cool.
Which was a, you know, really interesting little, just a nice tight little scene that shows how important the ground crew were, which is something we talked about with Captain Dale Dye in our last episode of, you know, the main podcast. We did an interview with Dale.
That's out
that
now.
Went out
listen to it
last
now.
Wednesday or this, you know, Wednesday, whatever. It went out before this episode. If you're listening in 6 months' time, you'll know. You'll be able to
the
find
double,
it.
The double record has thrown
it's
the Foff
throwing
HQ into
the turmoil.
Overdrive. No, I do. I think you're right though. That sequence injects just a little bit of stakes into this episode because obviously there are stakes anyway going on. But in terms of bomber action. It's a very light bomber in terms
well, we don't
of like,
see the raid,
seeing
do we?
It.
We see them,
no, we don't
we
see
the
raid.
The tension, the build up to the raid with the new crew. We see the great scene with fixing the magneto.
Yeah.
You see them take off, and then you see them return, and
because that's
set
my
people
favorite
don't
scene.
Make it.
Yeah, my favorite scene this week is the fact we don't have a raid in a weird way. So we've seen it at this point. We've seen the scratched raid on Bremen. We've seen the big raid last week on Ravensburg. We've seen it. So we know as an audience now what that looks like, you know, and obviously people watching this show will know the Second World War in any way. You'd know you couldn't imagine what a bomber raid looks like. So we don't see it. And it's the raid again. But then you have this great scene in the interrogation hut where you're sort of dolly shotted through it. A continuity sequence even through the interrogation hut, and you hear from the men, they paint the picture for you. So you know, you've got dialogue of one chap says it was like flying into a wall of flak. Another crew says we didn't see any shoots from this bomber. And then we learn that Cleven hasn't returned, and out of the 8 bombers are lost, and that's 80 men in that mission.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a heavy toll again. And then from that, you get this great bit with Egan in London. It's the closing part of this episode. And if you read the Masters of the Air book, it's featured very, very early in. I think it might even be in the prologue. of the book, where Egan's on the phone to Thorpe Abbotts after reading about the raid in a newspaper. Really like that. Really grounds it for the time. And he uses baseball terminology to talk to the man on the phone, his commanding officer on the phone. And he says, "Is there a game tomorrow? Tell coach I'll be there at game time and I want to pitch." End credits.
Yeah.
Fantastic dialogue. Pretty much verbatim to the time, I think.
And that's just after he's really seen good. the effects of the bombing in London and the mother that's, racked with grief,
Yeah. And Egan,
so it's a very effective little sequence.
It is. And he's told that Bucky went down swinging.
Mm-hmm.
It's what this episode doesn't do in terms of action, it really paints a picture for you with words. And I think it's still doing everything well. It's just showing you, we don't have to show you a raid every week. Because for some men, it wasn't a raid every week. They had time, downtime. There is pilots downed and trying to get home. There's a lot going on here. And it is setting a lot up. So I think maybe we're into final thoughts, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, my final thought for this week is I saw a number of comments around the depiction of Babyface's death in the ball tour last week. And a couple of people were saying it didn't get across the emotional weight of it. And I don't really agree with that, because in that scene last week, he does linger at the door. He is racked with guilt. You can tell even in that moment, he's already, regretting the fact that he can't save him. And then there's a great scene this week where the two of them are on the train, the two playing Secret Army.
It's effectively,
And is it Bailey that keeps asking about?
Yeah.
Bailey keeps asking about, did Babyface make it out? Is he alive? And, finally he gets, a reply, and he says, well, no, I couldn't get him out. And that scene is very well acted. I thought it gives,
it's subtle too.
It is very subtle, and it gives the weight that sits on him. Yeah. Right. It gets it across very well, I thought.
He's going to live with that for the rest of his days, and we don't need a huge outburst on the train, because we can't have a huge outburst on the train, because if we do, we'll be found out.
Yes, and that plays into the bit where he panics when the ticket Spectre asks for his ticket, and he doesn't know what's going on, and he just kind of like tries to run out of the carriage.
It's almost like he's penned in the train carriage like the ball turret, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's good writing, folks.
He's penned into that compartment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the same feeling, I guess. Yeah. It's very good. And I that's what I've got down, really. I like the development of the crew on the ground. We're not leaving Baby's Face's death. We're showing it. We're hearing about it. And as I've got down here, it's a lot more of a slower, somber episode. And as I said earlier, it shows the sort of hectic lifestyle that these men had. And yet still gets across, there are still raids going on. Thorpe Abbott doesn't stop just because the lads are in Africa. There's so much going on. And it really is, for me at least, having seen the series, it is this bridging episode to bigger things coming up. And next week, a lot happens. So yeah, that was a bit of a shorter episode this week for episode 4. I think last week was such a gut punch, episode 3. That
I mean, there was an awful lot to talk about, wasn't there?
There was.
But I mean, before we finish up, I will say, definitely go and listen to our episode chatting with Dale Dye. He gives some really fascinating insights into the work that he did preparing, and also getting the actors into the mindset of being a bomber crew, and then some of the technicalities and some of the issues and the challenges that he faced on production. All really interesting. Definitely worth checking out if you haven't listened to that yet.
Yeah, and if you're still unsure on the series, I recommend our Dale Dye interview.
You've somehow managed to listen to this all the way through and enjoyed the spoilers, and if you then wanted to go back and be swayed by Dale, then he totally does, and he does it without giving any spoilers away, so there'd be no spoilers for the rest of the series. You're safe there.
So yeah, episode 4, a strong, somber episode that sets up bigger things to come. So do join us next week for episode 5 of Masters of the Air.
And don't forget, you can get 10% off at airfix.com if you use the code FOFFPODCAST, all caps, all one word.
Yeah, you'll get some money off, some lovely model kits. Maybe you'll make your own.
What's your thought of the week, Rob? I know you got one this week. We haven't had one for a couple of weeks.
Maybe you'd make your own thought of the week, which this week, to round out the episode, is Rosenthal's bomber, Rosie's Riveters, which is absolutely inspired.
Absolutely brilliant name.
Fantastic. Catch you next week, folks, for another Masters of the Air review. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.